Hello, and welcome to a new edition of the CEO series, one we like to call the Producer's Cut. My name is Gabby Hartshorn-Mell. I am a student of Professor Carl Moore at McGill and also the producer of this show. This week, Professor Moore has granted me the opportunity to share my favorite parts of one of our recent episodes, the interview with author and Yale professor Barry Nailbuff. I'm very excited to get started. I want to jump right in with this question from Professor Moore.
So Barry, you're a professor, you're doing well. How did you get to become an entrepreneur? How did that happen?
Professor Nailbuff's response to this question is very interesting. His startup venture with one of his students. I think the story of Honest Tea is a great one to share because it very much exemplifies a classic entrepreneurial story. On top of his career as an author and at Yale, he worked nights and weekends with CEO Seth Goldman to develop their product into a practical company. It seems that startups always form in a similar fashion. I'll leave it to him to delve in.
One of the great things about being a professor, like your own experience, is you get to see the students firsthand. You get first look. And I had a chance to advise many of them and said, okay, I want to keep my eye out on this one. Well, one of those students is Seth Goldman, and I had advised him on his entrepreneurship project when he was an MBA student. We had talked in one of my strategy classes about why all the beverages out there were either super sweet or boring, like water. Why wasn't there a normal beverage out there? And I didn't have an answer for it. After he graduated, Seth went to work for Calvert Fund, and 3 years later, he called me up and said, has anything ever happened with that idea about a more normal beverage? And I said, no, but now I'm ready. And together, we formed Honest Tea, a tea that tastes like tea.
I think that Professor Nailbuff's students must have really benefited by learning from someone who's not only an expert in the field of commerce, but also someone in the midst of an entrepreneurial venture. This next question came after we learned that his startup was later bought by Coca-Cola in a multi-million dollar deal.
So you've done well. Mm-hmm. You don't need to work.
Yeah.
So why do you work?
Professor Nailbuff's response is enlightening and something I believe we should all aspire towards. He loves his career and he does it because he truly loves to work.
So people ask me, how is life different after the sale to Coca-Cola when I can do anything I want? And I kid them that I live in the same house and married to the same woman and do the same job. And that in life, that's what I think you should all aspire to, which is if you had resources that would allow you to do anything you want, that you're doing the same thing you were doing beforehand. There were two changes I made in my life afterwards. I hired a personal assistant to help me clean up my office. That took 3 years, actually. And I hired a personal trainer to help me lose weight. And that also took a few years and saved 40 pounds. And both of those things I could have done beforehand. So one of the other pieces of advice I give people is imagine the activities you do differently if you had many more resources. And what you may discover is that some of the most important ones you can do today. And so don't wait.
Professor Moore also asked Professor Nailbuff about my generation. I want to bring this up because I think he made a unique point about our generation ultimately attempting to surround ourselves with purpose, even in the organizations we work. In other words, we want to work for a company whose purpose is synonymous with our passion. That way it never feels like work.
I think everybody cares about that now, and all of my students want to go to ESG investing. Absolutely. And when I talk to people at, let's say, large consumer products companies and ask them where their passion is, it's often coaching little league soccer, boys and girls clubs, the things they do outside of work. Whereas at Honest Tea, we had people who were disappointed come Friday because they had to wait till Monday to get back to what we were doing. And you want a business where the integrity, the mission is in the product itself, as opposed to, I'm selling more shoes so I can give away shoes if you'd like. It's that with Beyond Meat, we're reducing the impact of cows on the planet and on people. With Honest Tea, we're taking sugar out of the American diet and providing healthier alternatives.
Another point about Gen Z, Professor Nailbuff believes that our generation is leading the world in the direction of greater sustainability and positive impact.
So you and I, as business profs, would say the world's going this direction. Yeah. Is that actually happening? Are we being naive and optimistic? Or do you actually see this happening in bigger companies out there when you talk to graduates and so on?
Well, I don't say the world's going this way. I say our graduates are going this way.
Okay.
That's what they want. And many of them are going to be disappointed as companies are, if you like, greenwashing or creating positions that sound like they're going to have a social component. But, you know, not really. And so it's a challenge. And I'm hoping that they will stick with their guts and stick with their guns to make sure the companies really do live up to this ESG, better products, better planet promise.
Professor Nailbuff's explanation on splitting the pie, which is the name of his newest book and also his view on negotiation, is rather creative and I think slightly novel and unusual. He explains in the following example.
So split the pie, what do you mean by that? Give us an example, so make it concrete if you don't mind.
And here I'll have to use a little bit of math, which is always tricky on the radio, but we'll give it a shot.
Okay.
So I'm from New Haven, where everything is pizza. This clam pizza at Sally's and Pepe's, that's possibly the most famous thing in town.
Other than Yale,
maybe, yeah. Maybe not. The lines at Sally's and Pepe's are harder to get into. So let's imagine that Alice and Bob have a 12-slice pizza to divide between them.
Okay.
If they can agree on how to divide it up. If they can't, Alice will get 4 slices and Bob will get 2.
Okay.
And so the question is, how should Alice and Bob agree on dividing up the 12?
So they could get 12 or they could get 6.
They get 4 and 2, which is 6,
yeah.
Correct.
So how do we get the other half? And how do we split it?
So you've already jumped to the right answer, if you'd like, which is fine. Some folks get it naturally. Most people, when they look at this, have one of two approaches. They say, well, there's 12 slices. We just divide 6 and 6, the fair approach. The other is that Alice has twice the power of Bob. Alice has a fallback of 4. Bob only has a fallback of 2. Okay. So therefore, Alice should get twice as much as Bob. Hence, it should be 8 and 4 division. I think both of those answers are misguided because they don't understand what the negotiation is about. It's not about the 12 slices. As you pointed out, they can get 6 slices between them with no agreement, the 4 plus 2. The whole purpose of this negotiation is to go from 6 slices to 12. Those extra 6 slices are what this negotiation is about. Therefore, those extra 6 slices should be divided 3 and 3 because Alice and Bob are equally essential to make that happen. Thus, Alice gets the 4 plus 3 or 7, and Bob gets the 2 plus 3 or 5.
I think this way of viewing the negotiation, first, truly understanding and appreciating each party's negotiation position, and then also what the negotiation is truly about, is a unique and optimal approach. The best negotiation considers both what both parties brought to the table and also splitting the synergies evenly, since both parties are, as Professor Nailbuff worded, equally essential to the deal. Now that he has explained this model of thinking, one that is almost a compromise between the other alternatives, I very much agree with his viewpoint on how the pie should be split. To wrap up this edition of The Producer's Cut, I would like to comment on Professor Nailbuff's answer to Professor Moore's quintessential interview question.
Are you more of an introvert or extrovert, Barry?
I am clearly an extrovert.
And is that the way you were, from when you were teens sort of thing?
Probably from birth.
Okay. Well, some research at Harvard, so they studied babies and followed them for decades, and there's some sense that 40-50% is DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So it's certainly possible.
I'm a left-handed extrovert.
Aside from my duties as show producer, I also work with Professor Moore to analyze many of his CEO interviews with a focus on the trends of introversion and extroversion in the context of leadership. The results of our study will be Professor Moore's newest upcoming book, We Are All Ambiverts Now. Based on my past experience listening to esteemed business professionals and executives, I feel that Professor Nailbuff is indeed extroverted leaning, but he seems to exhibit some introverted tendencies as well, including but not limited to strong intuition, external awareness as exhibited through some of his anecdotes throughout the show, and also a need to recharge alone with table tennis and a good night's rest. Perhaps he leans more towards a left-handed ambivert, which is also what I consider myself to be. Thank you very much for tuning in to this mini episode of Professor Moore's CEO series. It has been an honor to share my ideas with you. Thank you very much to Professor Moore for allowing me the space to contribute my thoughts. As always, à la prochaine!